All right, the recorder is started. And we are at NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I have that on page 298. How about you guys? 298 in the paperback as well. All right, this is a good start. There is no right and there is no wrong. There is no right thing to do and there is no mistake. Do not judge yourself on this criteria. Become as an empty shell, remembering that you do not know. The joke's on us, isn't it? For the people in the recorder, this is like all about the discussion we were having before turning on the recorder, so everybody's laughing. Okay, become as an empty shell, remembering that you do not know. If you will let go of judgment and give everything to me, I will judge it for you. I will not judge it as good or bad or right or wrong. I will only judge it as true or untrue. Then you may choose if you want that which is true or if you desire the untrue a little longer. So specifically what Spirit is talking about here are our thoughts or our beliefs. We could have a thought, and we've all had these thoughts, so we know this. We could have a thought where we think that thought is wrong, and I am bad for having this thought, right? We can have other thoughts where we think this thought is right, and I am good for having this thought, right? And the Spirit's saying that's not true. You can't really label thoughts as right or wrong or good or bad. Thoughts are either true, and even though he says true here, what he really means is point toward truth, because absolute truth can't be stated in thought. But thoughts are either true or thoughts are untrue. And that's really a very, very helpful way to look at our own mind if we can choose to do that. It seems like people get very, very stuck on the idea of good and bad, right or wrong. And so when thoughts come into their mind, you know, like let's say they have a judgment thought against a person. And, you know, we've been learning now since Romans that judgment is not helpful, right? So they have a judgment thought against a person. They look at that judgment thought and they say, oh, that's a bad thought. I'm a bad person for having a bad thought, right? When really, the Holy Spirit's way of looking at the judgment thought about the other person would just be, that's not true. That's not a true thought about that one, right? And if you can learn to just look at thoughts and see some thoughts as thoughts that are helpful, that come from Spirit, that point toward truth, that are worth really listening to and contemplating and embracing, and look at other thoughts as, well, as the Course would say, meaningless, not true, meaningless, then you can discern thoughts without guilt and self-judgment, right? So it could be the most vicious judgment thought in the world that pops into your mind, right? And all you have to do is say, that's not a true thought. Verses 11 to 13. Remember that an empty shell holds only to its casing, and that is trust. Remember what your true desire is, for you do know. Listen to your own heart and choose what is given as true. What is not given, do not choose. In this way, you cease to think for yourself and you become as an empty shell. So it's interesting that this should say you become as an empty shell, because this is really talking about an intermediate step. You're not yet the empty shell. because it is asking us to listen to and contemplate the thoughts that the heart gives. So some of the thoughts that we were talking about before we turned on the recorder were like the thought, I don't know what anything is for. You know, that is literally a thought given by what we call the Holy Spirit, or given by the right mind. And the interesting thing about that thought is if you hold to just that thought, you're not exactly an empty shell, because you have that thought that you're holding on to, right? But you're a lot like an empty shell, because there could have been this whole huge story in the mind, and then as soon as you realize, wait, I don't know what anything is for, you're completely empty except for that thought, I don't know what anything is for, and maybe some trust, some willingness, right? So it makes you very, very, very close to empty. And in fact, it makes you close enough to empty that that spirit can move in more at that point, because you aren't blocking spirit. Exactly, right? Verses 14 to 17. We partake of one loaf, we drink of one cup. This is because we are one. When you choose to think the thoughts that are not mine, you are not sharing in our thought with me. When you do not share in our truth, you entertain yourself with illusion. This does not change our truth, but it does blind you to the truth. Are you ready to remove the blindfold you have given to yourself? Are you ready to become as me and see? So before we turned on the recorder, I told you all a story about some judgments I had in my mind last week. And Tom asked basically if I felt any conflict, you know, with what was going on. And I mentioned that I didn't really feel conflict, because I felt so certain that I was right, that I had looked at this from all angles and had made it a good decision. But I also commented that now that I look back on it, what I also realize is how strong my ego sense was. Not a negative, vicious ego sense, just Regina the decision maker, right? Was very, very strong in that moment. And notice this says that when we do not share our thoughts with spirit, we are entertaining ourselves with illusion and we're blind to our truth. You know, well, Regina the decision maker, you know, that's a pretty strong illusion. And also, when I feel like Regina the decision maker, I am completely blind to truth. So, you know, people can get all excited about all kinds of topics. We've talked about some of these before: gun control, politics, the environment. And often they can feel very, very right, just like I felt very, very right in the judgments I was making last week, right? But if we notice, whenever we start feeling very, very right, if we can learn to stop and notice, we're going to notice also that our ego sense feels very, very strong in that moment. You know, like I'm fully Regina, or I'm fully Dave, or I'm fully Tom, right? And if our ego sense is so strong, well, then in that moment, our truth is completely hidden from our view. Verses 18 to 22. You cannot serve two masters means that you cannot believe illusory thoughts are true and know true thoughts as true also. True thoughts are always true, and illusory thoughts are not true. But illusory thoughts may be chosen as experience over thoughts that are true. If a false experience is your choice, a false experience is what you are given. But the carnival ride of falsity must end when you are ready to turn into the light. So if I want to continue to believe my own righteous opinions, for example, and continue to have that strong ego sense, what Holy Spirit is saying here is even that is not wrong, right? It's just not true. The strong ego sense you have of yourself is just not true. And what's happening is you're hiding the truth. But sometimes we get the idea that if we, or someone else, is coming from ego, they're bad or they're wrong or they're guilty. And Spirit's saying, nope, that's just not true. Right? So again, what's really being emphasized through this chapter is there really is no such thing as good, bad, right, wrong. There's only true and not true. But not true hides truth. So we can be our strong sense of ego if we want. If that's really still what we want, that's okay. But we can't have that strong ego sense and know ourself, capital S self, also. It's one or the other. Sentence 5. I am waiting for you to make the decision I know you will make. I am waiting for your signal, which is the empty shell. When you have given the signal to me, I will know you are ready for the light. You will not have to ask twice. The moment the signal is given, the light shall be given also. So, when we're really completely done with the personality, Spirit says that's all it takes. That's all it takes is just to be completely done with the personality. So apparently what's happening here is we haven't gotten to be completely done with the personality yet. And it's funny because even people that think they hate their self, they actually love their self. You know, you can't convince them of that. But it's true. And I have heard people that were pretty miserable that I knew well at some point make comments about, you know, like, I'd rather be me than her. You know, little comments like that pop up. And I'm like, oh, I thought you hated yourself. There's evidence of that proof then, right? If you'd rather be you than her, even as much as you hate yourself, it proves you don't hate yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all comfortable in our skin, even if we're comfortable with being very uncomfortable. Yeah. Yeah. Verses 23 to 24. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Yet that which is not beneficial cannot hurt, because it cannot change the truth. So this is interesting too, because people, you know, will bring up topics when you start letting go of ideas like right and wrong. People will bring up the apparent very wrong, you know, like abusing the innocent animals, abusing innocent children. You know, those are usually the most popular too, but there are others as well, I'm sure. And people will say, how can you say there's no right and there's no wrong? And again, there's no right and there's no wrong because everything is permissible. Because of what we learned way back in NTI Acts 10, we are completely free. And completely free means there's not a line that you can cross into wrongdom, right? So completely free means everything is permissible, therefore there is no wrong and there is no bad. However, at the same time, Spirit is saying, but not everything is beneficial. And you see how beneficial is not a statement of guilt, like bad would be or wrong would be, but still, we all know within our own wisdom that not everything is beneficial, right? And so, that which is beneficial cannot hurt. It cannot hurt our truth. Our truth is unaffected, right? It cannot hurt because it cannot change truth, but that still doesn't mean it's beneficial. And, you know, really, those of us who are on this path, obviously, although we may not want to think in right or wrong, good or bad, we might want to start thinking in what is beneficial and not beneficial. What is beneficial and not beneficial for me to think, and even what is beneficial and not beneficial for me to say or do. And we might want to start trying to align ourselves as much as possible with the beneficial. You know, people often say that, I think I'll get this word right, I'm not good with big words, you may have to help me, you're a big word guy, that the universe is, it's like the word beneficial, but it's not.
Beneficent.
Beneficent. Say that again?
Beneficent.
The universe is beneficent. That's like beneficial, right? We want to be beneficent also, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why we want to start discerning between both mind and action, what is beneficial and what is not beneficial. And you can discern that without judging yourself as bad. Can you get the feel for that? So you can still make, you know, better choices by just thinking in terms of beneficial and not beneficial. But that doesn't mean that there's never a wrong and there's never a bad. And if you happen to have one of these days when you just get so caught up in an ego story that you do the non-beneficial thing, all that means is you did something non-beneficial. It doesn't mean you did something wrong or bad. And in fact, the unaffected truth is still completely unaffected. Say that word again.
Beneficent.
Beneficent. We want to be beneficent. Beneficent. All right, verses 25 to 30. Everything is permissible, but do you still seek that which is untrue? If your answer is no, then why do you still go after it by partaking of illusory thoughts? That which you think is that which you experience. If you have tired of the experience that is untrue, stop feasting on its thoughts. Let them pass by without tasting them. In this way, you become an empty shell, free of the experience you no longer want. So that's a pretty clear paragraph. But I think sentence 5 is the only 5 I really feel to comment on. Notice sentence 5 says, let them pass by without tasting them. So, you know, that is still saying these thoughts may show up. You know, lots of times, again, people get the idea the thoughts shouldn't even show up. And you know, what we're being told over and over again is we have no control in the moment as to whether they show up or not. And you could call that a part of the current script. Where we have a choice is whether we want to take those thoughts in deep, you know, and really feast on them or not. That's where our choice lies. So, you know, notice the thought, maybe discern, would this be beneficial or not beneficial? If it's not beneficial, let it go on by because we want to be beneficent.
I have a feeling my word's going to work its way into the meeting.
Beneficent. If I can remember it that long, I may have to ask for it again. But it's a fun word. It's a fun word. Verses 31 to 33. Keep what you truly want in your mind. Let true desire be your guide. So again, what we truly want in our mind is only that which is beneficent. Right? We don't want those thoughts that are untrue and not beneficial in our mind. So this is just asking us to realize also that when I'm choosing the beneficent thoughts, and I'm not choosing the thoughts that are not beneficial, it doesn't want me to feel like I'm doing this under any coercion, because that's not helpful. It wants me to realize this is what I want. I want to be pure, right? That's what I want. And so it's through my own desire that I'm doing this practice of discernment. And every time I let go of a thought, you know, because I've decided it was not beneficial, I'm letting it go because that's what I want to do. So this is all in alignment with my will. I'm not being coerced at all.
It's kind of also, it's like taking the observer role with these thoughts, even to, no matter what thought comes in, like you said earlier, I mean, some are helpful, but if you think of them as good or bad, you know, sometimes we get good confused with helpful, you know, and so to just have the observer role and just observe thoughts, and you can feel the energy of what's helpful or beneficial,
right?
You know, but you know, I just really see taking the observer role on all this is really helpful.
Yeah. And you definitely have to be in the observer role to discern, because if you're too much into it, In that moment, you're not discerning. There's always a step back that happens when you're discerning, to some degree. Even if you're still feeling the emotions of the thought, there may be some attachment. But if you're, you know, thinking about, is this a thought I want to keep? Is this a thought I want to let go? Should I be practicing rest, accept, and trust right now? If you're doing that type of thinking, you're in an observer role, right? If I'm not in an observer role, I'm just believing the thoughts and acting them out. So like if my thought comes in to argue with someone, I'm just arguing and trying to prove my point. But if something comes in to argue with someone and I'm still feeling a lot of resentment towards this person because I really think that, you know, they're arrogant, right? But at the same time, there's something in me that's watching and noticing, you know, really, is this thought of arrogance, is this helpful or not helpful? You know, do you really want, is this how you want to see this person? Do you want to just let this thought go? This sense of resentment, just relax, just let this sense of resentment be, it will die. If that type of thinking is also happening, I am in the observer role. That's observer thinking, right?
Yeah, I find what's been helpful for me is first observe the thought. You know, first I observe the thought. And for me, like you said, because a lot of times there's still the conflict feeling.
Right.
Then I got to observe the feeling, because a lot of times I make the mistake, many times, that this feeling goes with this situation. But it doesn't. It doesn't go with that situation. It's something much deeper. So for me, it's like I want to look at this feeling and know that it's not attached to what's going on right here.
Yeah.
You know, that there's something that's going a lot deeper here.
And one helpful thought that has let me let go in lots of situations where I probably wouldn't have, because I would have thought it for sure this situation was the cause of the emotions and the thoughts. One beneficial thought that has always been in my mind that's helped me learn to let go is just the thought that if my mind was perfectly healed, nothing would ever upset me. And accepting that idea as a truth. Because there are some situations just seem, you know, like everybody in the world's going to agree with you, this is an upsetting situation. But what allowed me to stay back and watch my mind was realizing if my mind was perfectly healed, there's no situation that would be upsetting. There's no exception to that. So that's always been helpful. At least to me. All right, shall we start the next one? Or have you had enough for tonight? Dave wants to go, what about the rest of you? Go? Okay. NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Follow my guidance as I lead you to your truth. I am grateful to you for continuing on the path with me, just as I am grateful to you for all things. For I can never not be grateful to you, because I know your truth, and I know your Father who created you the same as he. Now, I am sure that this is the time that I had that vision, which I've told you all about before, with the war scene, where I was taken into the war scene right after it looked like some bombers had flown over a city, and the buildings were bombed out, and there were fire and smoke and maimed people, you know, people, dead people, people missing arms and legs, you know, people crying, looking for family members, friends, just this, you know, just horrific scene. And then I was taken into what I'm going to call formlessness. I mean, I really saw nothing at this point. But there was a knowledge that what had made this scene was us, right? That we had made this scene with our thinking. But what I experienced, instead of experiencing guilt about that, it's getting hot again, isn't it? It's not just me, huh? What I experienced was Holy Spirit's gratitude for what we are. Not necessarily a direct gratitude for the war scene, but Holy Spirit's gratitude for what we are. And gratitude for freedom. And gratitude that we are free enough to do whatever we want with what we are, right? And I really experienced that gratitude, and that's what's, you know, that's when this paragraph came. This paragraph came that morning after that vision. The vision came first and then the paragraph. But so when Spirit says, I can never not be grateful, that's a true statement for Spirit. Spirit is always grateful because Spirit knows our truth. Spirit is so focused on what we are and our freedom that the gratitude is undying. There's never a, oops, but you did that with it. Now I'm not grateful. Now I'm hurt. Right? And again, Spirit is aware of what we are, so Spirit is aware of the unaffectedness, right? Spirit knows nothing is actually hurt, right? So Spirit is always, always grateful for every single scene, but seeing those scenes as unreal, of course. But Spirit can't help but be grateful for the glorious divineness that we are, because that is something to be grateful for. The only reason we're not grateful is we aren't aware of it like that. Verses 3 to 10. Trust in me as I am your authority in the world. I am not a false authority which would not recognize you and would try to tell you what to do. I am true authority because I do recognize you. I lead you where you want to go. Do not fear that I will ask you to do what you do not want to do. I cannot do that because I know what you are. This is why I wait for your invitation to give you what you want. For I do know that you want it, but knowing who you are, I wait until you know also. So there's never, ever any coercion in Spirit, ever. Even if we receive guidance, clear as day, we know it's guidance. But then our thinking mind comes back in and we prefer to listen to our thinking mind. We still feel safer with our thinking mind. That's fine. From Spirit's perspective, that's fine. You know, Spirit knows who we are in truth. Spirit knows that what we want more than anything is to realize ourselves, because that is our greatest joy. But Spirit will never, ever coerce us, ever. So we can, you know, be the rebellious kid kicking and screaming and fighting Spirit for as long as we want to. And Spirit just waits in joyous gratitude. We're never judged for that. So sometimes people feel really guilty because they think they missed a prompt. Don't have to feel guilty for that. It's just totally unnecessary, right? So if anything, all we really need to do is realize what we really want. You know, Spirit already knows. But we're the ones that don't always know what we want. So that's where we need to be working. We need to be working to become aware of our true desire. And a great way to do that is just by observing. When you're in ego, how happy are you? When you're surrendering. You know, when I surrender, and I told you guys a story before we turn on the recorder about how after I made some judgments, I received some guidance, and I chose to totally surrender, let go of every one of my judgments, right? Every one of them. Drop them like a hot potato. That's what felt good. You know? Feeling right had a sort of feeling good about it. I mean, it did, right? It had a sort of feeling. I mean, I can't say that felt bad, but dropping that felt really good. You know, so it was a deeper feeling good. And so as we observe the difference between how we feel when we're in ego and then how we feel when we relinquish ego, you start realizing which one you want the most. You know when you feel the best, right? You know when that deep, deep feeling of good sets in. So a part of our job is really training ourselves to remember what we want, because we forget and start thinking we want other things. Verses 11 to 16. You can trust in me because I am you. We are one in God. Therefore, I cannot want for you that which you do not want for yourself. I can only want for you that which you do want. This is why you have freedom to choose dreams of illusion, if that is the experience you desire. I will not take from you that which you desire. I will only give that which you seek. I cannot take, I can only give, because I know that you are me. So again, spirit, you know, if we are choosing illusions, you could say spirit just stands by and waits and allows those illusions. But then in the moment when we are asking, you know, for something other than illusions, we're asking for discernment, we're asking for true guidance, not guidance in illusions, not guidance that chooses between illusions, but true guidance, you know, then spirit answers because we're now in touch with what we really want. So whenever we're asking for what we really want, spirit gives. Whenever we're asking or demanding what we don't really want, spirit just waits. Right? Spirit never takes away. Now you will hear stories about people saying things like, well, I lost this and this and this, you know, and sometimes it's said that spirit took those things away from me. You know, I would say that's just an interpretation that's seeing all things as beneficial, right? And that's an okay interpretation, as long as you aren't blaming spirit. Because sometimes those types of events bring people to their knees. But the truth is, usually things like that still happen while the ego thinking is going on. Spirit's still standing back and waiting. So you're running the ego script, right? Spirit standing back and waiting, and then when you finally fall to your knees, spirit swoops in. Verses 17 to 26. Remember me in all things and in all that you do. Remember that I am your truth, and I am the one within you who does not lose sight of your true desire. While you may still lose sight, give all things to me. In this way, you are led consistently in the direction of your truth. Hold nothing back from me. Do not feel you need to handle anything yourself. For to feel you must handle anything yourself is to believe that we are not one and that I can want what you do not want. Let go of your desire to have things your way by remembering that your way, separate from me, is illusion. That way is no way. Surrender that way and become an empty shell. So this again is pointing back to the times when we think our mind is wisdom. And we think, you know, I can figure out the best decision here. And Spirit is saying, you know, that's not true. You know, what's going to happen is you're going to build up your ego sense, your sense of you as the decision maker, you as the doer, and that's not what you really want. It's best to surrender all decisions to me, all choices to me. Let me guide in all things. And in that way, you will be led towards what you truly want. Verses 27 to 32. Trust in me is trust in yourself. You do not give trust to something that is not you, for I am you. This is why you can trust me. I am you, and I see you. Because I see you as me, I know you. I am not the illusory self who leads you through blindness and fear. I am the true self, who leads you through light and through knowledge. I will never make you suffer, because I know you cannot suffer. You can only be free, and through our freedom, I share my freedom with you. Again, one of the primary reasons that people are afraid to surrender is they're afraid, first of all, that spirit is different from them, and therefore spirit can want what they do not want. And if they follow spirit, they will suffer. And spirit's saying, it's impossible for me to be separate from you. It's impossible for me to want what you do not want. Like, I'm not even capable of it. These are imaginary ideas. Now, of course, spirit knows what we really want. So if we're highly attached to ego, we could still argue the spirit wants something different than us, right? But that's only because we're not in touch with what we want. And one of the best ways to get in touch with what you want is to go ahead and surrender and then find where spirit guides you, because then there's always that deeper, this is what, I thought I wanted X, but no, this feels way better. So by following spirit, because spirit knows what we want and we're the ones that are confused, right? By following spirit, we're more satisfied, more fulfilled than we would be if we followed ourselves. Yes.
It seems like something I've noticed is that the things that we set as our goals, let me turn that around. As you say, when we surrender, the feeling that comes to us is the feeling that we actually wanted by trying to set our own personal goals.
Yeah, we were after that deep happiness, but it doesn't come that way. But you're right, that's what we want. Yeah, that deep, deep
just
happiness.
We've trained ourselves to look for happiness in certain ways and certain paths.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so our last paragraph then, verses 33 to 34. So you may rest and not fear. Whatever you want shall be given as long as you want it. When you do not want it, it will not be taken away. You will release it of your own freedom. It is through becoming an empty shell that you signal you have tired of games. So it is through your gift of an empty shell that I shall fill you with the memory of our truth. So if we still want illusions, we can have illusions. And when we're done with them and we let them go, then realization comes. So as I look back over 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11, what I see that looks like a good assignment to me, we'll see if you guys agree, is practicing watching our thoughts with the ideas of not just our thoughts, but even what we maybe want to say or do. So I'm going to say our thoughts and our action options, right? So while you still have the choice, not after the action, but while you still have the choice, okay? So our thoughts and our action options, watch them and just try and discern whether this is beneficial or not beneficial without getting into true judgment of good and bad, right or wrong, right? Try to get into the practice of would this be beneficial or not beneficial, and then see if you can, start making some choices that feel beneficial and letting the not beneficial go, because it isn't what you really want. Nobody here wants to be not beneficial, right? We know that. And so just practice with those ideas this week. Discernment, is this beneficial or not beneficial? Okay?
Instead of good and bad.
Instead of good and bad, or right and wrong, yeah. And with that, I'll stop the recorder and we'll do a little bit of silence.